She told him she couldn't shoot another arrow if her life depended on it, and told him to shoot some arrows before they went back, so his headache would be gone for a while. As she watched him, it occurred to her she hadn't tried to distract him while he shot, and he had promised she could try. Kaelin stepped up close behind him. "Time to see if you are really as good as you think you are." When he drew back the bowstring, she tickled his ribs. He didn't flinch. He shot the same as before. But he laughed and squirmed after the arrow was away. She kept trying as he shot, but wasn't able to distract him. She became more determined. If tickling wouldn't work, she would just have to try something else. Kaelin pressed up against his back as he concentrated on aiming, and smoothly unbuttoned the top three buttons of his shirt. She slipped her hand inside and ran it over his chest. His skin was taut over his hard muscles. He felt good, warm, strong, hard. She unbuttoned more buttons to better extend her reach. She ran the fingers of one hand through the back of his hair as the other roamed across his stomach. Richard kept shooting. She started to forget about distracting him as she kissed the back of his neck. He giggled and hunched his shoulders after the arrow was away. He knocked another arrow. At last, she had all the buttons undone and was feeling all of the front of his torso, all the way down to his belt. Kaelin pulled the shirt tails out of his pants and ran both hands over his body, one high, one low. It didn't keep him from hitting the target. She couldn't break his concentration. Her breathing quickened. She decided she was going to win this game. She smiled as she pressed harder against him and reached farther.
"Kaelin," he gasped. "Kaelin, that's not fair."
He still had the bowstring drawn, but his aim was starting to wander. He worked to steady it. She drew his earlobe gently between her teeth and kissed his ear.
"You said you have to be able to shoot no matter what is happening,"
she whispered as she pushed her hand farther.
"Kaelin."
His voice was high and strained.
"That isn't fair. Oh, that's cheating."
"No matter what, those were your exact words. You have to be able to make the shot under pressure."
She ran her tongue into his ear.
"Is this enough pressure, my love? Can you do it? Can you make the shot?"
"Kaelin," he panted, "you're cheating."
She gave a throaty laugh and squeezed. He gasped and released the bowstring. By its flight, she knew that was one arrow they would never find.
"I think you missed,"
she breathed in his ear. He twisted around in her arms, dropping his bow. His face was red as he enclosed her in his arms. He kissed her ear.
"Not fair," he whispered, his breath hot. "You cheat."
The touch of his lips on her ear made her gasp. She held on tight as he pulled her hair away and put his warm mouth to her neck. It made her shiver. She hunched her shoulder against his face and half moaned, half laughed as the world tilted and she found herself on the ground under him. She managed to get out most of "I love you" before his lips covered hers and she wrapped her arms around his neck. She couldn't get her breath. She didn't want to. Just as she was starting to wonder when his hands were going to get even for what she had done, Richard leapt to his feet. He drew his sword in a rush. The passion in his eyes had been replaced by rage. Anger from the Sword of Truth flashed in his expression. The ring of steel was carried away by the wind. He stood with his shirt open, his chest exposed, and heaving with fury. She pushed herself up on her elbows.
"Richard, what is it?"
"Something is coming. Get behind me. Now."
Kaelin sprang to her feet, snatched up her bow, and knocked an arrow.
"Something?"
A ways off, she saw the grass moving, and it wasn't the wind. Chapter 12. A splotchy gray head bobbed toward them through the long grass. Whatever it wasn't very tall. Kaelin wondered if it could be another Skreeling. At that thought, she drew her bowstring back until the arrow's point was at her grip on the bow and the string against her cheek. She frantically worried if she could make the shot if it came at them. Although, from what she had seen of a Skreeling before, an arrow, she realized, would do no good. She wondered if she could call the lightning again. Richard lifted his arm in front of her.
"Wait."
A squat, hairless figure with long arms and big feet, dressed only in pants held up with straps, broke through the grass in front of them. Blinking yellow eyes gazed up at her, pointing the arrow between them. A sharp-toothed grin split its face.
Pretty lady.
It was the witch woman Shota's companion.
Samuel, Richard growled. What are you doing here?
The beastly creature hissed and reached for the sword.
Mine! Gimme!
Richard brandished the blade menacingly, and Samuel, pouting, snatched his arm back. Richard laid the sword's tip on the gray folds of skin at Samuel's neck.
I asked, what are you doing here?
Hateful eyes peered up.
Mistress wants you.
Well, you can just go home by yourself. We're not going to Agaden Reach.
He regarded Richard with one yellow eye.
Mistress not in the reach.
He turned, stretching up on his toes to look over the grass, and pointed a long, thick finger back toward the mud people's village.
Mistress waits for you there, where those people live together.
He glared back at Richard.
She said, if you don't come, she will kill them, and Samuel can cook them in a stew.
His grin returned. Richard gritted his teeth.
If she has hurt anyone,
she said she will not hurt them if you come to her.
What does she want?
You.
What does she want with me?
Mistress not tell Samuel. It tells me only to get you.
Kaelin had relaxed half the tension on the bowstring.
Richard, Shota said she would kill you if she ever saw you again.
He kept his eyes on Samuel as he spoke.
No. She said she would kill me if I ever went back to Agaden Reach. She's not in the Reach. But if I don't go, she said she will kill people. Do you doubt her?
No. But she still might kill you.
He grunted and then smiled.
Kill me? I don't think so. She likes me. I saved her life. Indirectly, at least.
Kaelin bristled. Shota had once tried to bewitch him, and she didn't like that one bit. Other than the Sisters of the Light, the witch woman was just about the last person Kaelin ever wanted to see again.
I don't like it.
Richard stole a quick glance at her.
If you have a better idea, put words to it.
Kaelin let out an angry breath.
I guess we have no choice, but you just keep her hands off you.
Richard gave her a startled look, then turned to the witch woman's companion.
You take the lead, Samuel. And don't forget who's carrying this sword. And remember what I told you the last time. I might still have some Samuel's stew if you try doing anything to harm us.
Samuel eyed the blade a moment. Without another word, he turned and started off, glancing over his shoulder to make sure they followed. Richard kept the sword out, slung his bow over his shoulder, and put himself between Kaelin and Samuel. The anger of the sword's magic blazed in his eyes. Samuel loped through the grass ahead of them, turning back occasionally to hiss at them. Kaelin stayed close on Richard's heels.
She'd better not put snakes on me again.
No snakes, she said emphatically, and I mean it. As if we have a choice, Richard muttered.
It was near dark by the time they reached the village. They came in from the east and noticed immediately that the entire population of the village was clustered at the south end of the common field, shielded by armed hunters standing shoulder to shoulder. Kaelin knew the mud people were deathly afraid of the witch woman. They wouldn't even speak her name aloud. For that matter, everyone she ever knew was deathly afraid of the witch woman, including her. Shota would have killed her the last time if Richard hadn't used a wish Shota had granted him to save her. She didn't think Shota would be granting Richard any more wishes. Samuel led them through the narrow passageways toward the spirit house, walking as if he had lived here all his life. He gurgled his odd laugh as he bounded along, giving them an occasional glance. He grinned with bloodless lips as if he knew something they didn't. When his grin showed too many teeth and Richard prodded him with the sword, Samuel growled and hissed, his yellow eyes glowing in the fading light. Samuel laid his long-fingered hand on the latch to the spirit house.
A pretty lady waits here, with me. Mistress wants only seek her.
Richard, I'm going in too, Kaelin said firmly.
He gave her a sidelong glance and then looked at Samuel. Open the door. One powerful arm drew the door back as shining yellow eyes glowered at him. Richard held his sword out, indicating that he wanted her to go in. The door squeaked closed behind them, with a sour-faced Samuel on the other side. In the center of the room sat a tall, elegant throne. Torchlight danced and flared on the carved gold-leaf vines, snakes, cats, and other beasts that covered every inch of the stately structure. A canopy draped with heavy red brocade and trimmed with gold tassels jutted out overhead. The throne itself sat atop three square, white marble platforms that served as steps. The whole thing was massive and imposing. Tufted red velvet covered the seat, the back, and the tops of the arms. Kaelin couldn't imagine how it could have possibly fit through the door, or how many men it must have taken to carry it. Shota sat regally, her impassive almond eyes watching Richard. She reclined slightly against the red velvet, one leg crossed over the other, her arms resting on the chair's high, wide-spaced arms, with hands draped haughtily over gold gargoyles. The gargoyles licked her wrists while she clicked one long, lacquered fingernail against a thumbnail. Luxuriant auburn hair cascaded over her shoulders. Shota redirected her ageless eyes to Kaelin. The long, rock-solid gaze felt as if it paralyzed her, penetrated her. A red, white, and black banded snake slumped down, hanging from the canopy. It flicked its tongue at Kaelin, hissing, and then dropped into Shota's lap, coiling up like a contented cat. It was a message to say that she had not been invited and was now warned of what would happen if Shota became displeased.